From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump's medical exam earlier this year included a cognitive test for dementia that he passed with flying colors. The test was meant to assure the public that any questions of mental deterioration were unfounded. But according to the New York Times, screening tests like these cannot rule out declines in reasoning or memory or difficulties with planning or judgment. The test is just too blunt an instrument, and for many high-functioning people, too easy. There is no information to suggest that the president has been tested for emotional instability, personality disorder, or other psychiatric disorders. Now, Brave New Films has released a new short film called Mental Health Experts on Donald Trump, where they interviewed leading mental health experts about the president. According to Brave New Films, quote, Trump's recent cognitive test was a sham. Everyone who has access to the nuclear codes must pass physical and mental readiness. According to the Nuclear Personnel Reliability Program, everyone except the president. The experts agree we need a nonpartisan expert panel to assess Trump's mental fitness, end of quote. Well, today we'll play the entire short film for you so you can decide what to make of the assessments by these experts.
It was clear to my fellow doctors and to fellow scientists and to just concerned people that there was something seriously the matter.
I'm concerned about many things about his mental instability, but especially in the immediate present, I'm most worried about his unfettered authority to launch nuclear weapons.
It made me consider, if I have devoted my entire career to studying and preventing violence, would I turn away in the face of perhaps the greatest violence that we could ever face?
I can't in good conscience, even though at one point I was really scared and I'm going to risk my license. I took the point of view that I wouldn't be comfortable doing anything but speaking out.
My real concern becomes this perpetuation of cultural trauma through the ideology of racism and oppression. There is an imperative to speak out against that which is unjust.
While I've given ethics a lot of consideration, I agree with the guidelines not to diagnose from afar and not to do armchair psychiatry. In fact, it's precisely to avoid that I am warning the public about the dangers that they are facing and calling for a full evaluation.
In coming out and speaking about this, you know, I've taken a lot of flack. People are like, oh, this is a political thing. I have voted for both Democrats and Republicans over the years. For me, this is a genuine concern for our nation and, frankly, the world.
The preamble to the Code of Ethics of the American Psychiatric Association says that my responsibility, first and foremost, is to my patients as well as to society. It means that my responsibility, first and foremost, is not to a public figure, not to President Trump, not to the American Psychiatric Association, but to my patients and to society.
I think it's vitally important that American psychiatrists not make the same mistake that German psychiatrists did in the 1930s when they remained silent. They do not deserve any credit or honor for that.
There are plenty of people in the world that don't have this training that speak out anyway without actual expertise. And so if they're the only voices giving, you know, out there in the world, that's very problematic.
He's done three things that I regard as indicative of dangerousness. He has incited his followers to violence. He has boasted of his own repeated sexual violence. And he has threatened violence in the future.
He has endorsed violence in public speeches that can lay the groundwork for a culture of violence and give rise to epidemics of violence.
If you have somebody who tends towards what we call malignant narcissism and excessive grandiosity and such, when he's put in an office where you are the most powerful man in the world, those character traits, rather than being adaptive, get exacerbated. and that the power of the presidency itself can actually aggravate his tendency to grandiosity.
He has no responsibility to what most of us consider to be reality. I call this solipsistic reality, that is, his reality alone, the sense of what his self perceives and needs becomes his entire reality. I would focus on his inability to cope calmly with crisis, but rather to respond to any questioning of his views with a kind of attack mode and a potential for violence. And that attack mode, potential for violence, is under the category of dangerousness.
We also can understand psychopathology, this idea of a feeling that one has the right to do whatever they desire to do. We also see the idea of, talk about obsession and compulsive behavior being played out several times. When we look at the claims that he indeed groped or kissed individuals in a manner that they did not desire, which is a compulsive behavior.
The fact that Trump, because of his narcissism, can get so addled and can get into sort of a schoolyard screaming match with a dictator from North Korea is quite disturbing.
There are people who lie all the time and don't know it. Confabulation is when someone tells you something that's absolutely wrong and they firmly believe it to be true. This happens a lot with people with neurologic disease. When you see someone who lies all the time, you say, what could be wrong with that person? Is this a personality problem? Or is this a brain problem? Is it getting worse?
Then there are some shifts or some distortions that exist within the cognitive structures or cognitive processes of the individual in question. This is the idea that I'm the least racist person, I am the best, I've done all of these things by myself, right? Indicates some level of distortion.
He brags about swindling people in trades and deals that he's made, and that he's able to deceive people and lie to them.
He gets himself to believe these things, such as his inauguration being the best attended, or that he really won the popular vote because 3 to 5 million undocumented immigrants came and voted for Hillary Clinton.
When I was in the Navy, the nuclear weapons people in the Navy have rules about who can handle nuclear weapons. And you have to be of sound mind to do this. And there are criteria and procedures for all these people who are working with nuclear weapons, except for the one person who's in charge of it.
An Air Force psychiatrist recently wrote a short article describing the careful study that is done of anyone who is associated with nuclear weapons in terms of stability and response to crisis. No such examination is performed routinely on the American president, and we think that's wrong, and that would pertain to any president, not just Donald Trump.
There's this model in mental health called the diathesis stress model. Diathesis is a pre-existing condition, and stresses are environmental factors. And you put a pre-existing condition in a stressful environment, and it blossoms, it comes out. It's more likely to come out. So if you have a pre-existing personality disorder and you are in a stressful position, like, I don't know, the presidency, that is a lot more likely to emerge and more severely.
The recent physical examination at the Naval Hospital, you have an emergency room physician who's not qualified, who did not do a neurologic exam, who did not do a brain scan. The mental exam should include not just a quick screen to see if you're demented, but actual tests that deal with your capability of have judgment and mental status, reliability, executive function.
The recent cognitive screen that Mr. Trump was given is rather concerning because with the serious signs of psychological, cognitive, and neurological concerns, should have involved a full neuropsychiatric examination, along with some scans of the brain, as well as a capacity evaluation.
Give him a Rorschach, give him an MMPI, which is a personality test. It's hours of testing, and, you know, you start to write up evaluation with different scores and cross-reference.
There's certain reflexes that you can test which indicate brain disease. And there are other tests, of course, the electroencephalogram, brainwave tests, the MRI scan, images of the brain, the PET scan, which shows the physiology of the brain.
There would have to be a greater level, a more intense, a robust level of testing to look at this idea of cognitive functioning.
And there's the California Verbal Learning Test. There's something called a Stroop, where you have words of colors that are printed in different colors than the words, like the word green might be orange. Whether you can tell a rhinoceros from a camel, for instance, is not a hard test. And if you fail that, you're pretty bad off. I mean, you're headed to the nursing home if you fail that.
Things that people have noticed in his speech patterns, his repeating himself over and over again, his looseness of associations when he talks, things are getting worse and he's becoming more unraveled.
Emergency physicians are people who routinely save your life when you're dragged into the emergency room with a heart attack or you've been hit by a car, and they're not trained to do a mental status exam. They are trained to do a brief neurologic exam to see if you've had a stroke, are you paralyzed on one side. They pass you off to the psych ward for that. So if he's not known for having the expertise to deal with people who may be having difficulty with their cognition or their impulsivity or their decreasing vocabulary or their propensity to lie all the time. The things we do know that he indicated indicate a man who is not in perfect health.
Look, there are plenty of people, good people, who with mental health issues that are doing their jobs. So I want to be very clear, this is not a stigma against people with mental illness.
Because people can be mentally ill without being dangerous, and they can be dangerous without being mentally ill.
Without full evaluations of his neuropsychiatric condition and his capacity to serve, we can never be sure that he is capable of functioning in the capacity for which he has been elected.
What I hope that my colleagues and I can accomplish really is primarily to alert and warn American legislators in Congress, the judges in our judiciary, the law enforcement professionals in the executive branches of our government, and the American voters, my fellow citizens.
We feel generally that there should be a more extensive kind of examination of American presidents or potential American presidents, and especially in relationship to their potential response to an extreme crisis, such as nuclear threat.
Well, I would first try to eliminate any kind of monetary bias. In other words, I would find people who are not on the payroll of the federal government. I mean, there are a lot of people who are not. I mean, we have lots of good neurologists and psychiatrists in this country. We have people who are experts in this area.
Trump has manifested all the warning signs that would demand a thorough psychological evaluation, but it doesn't appear that there's anybody that's going to do it, and that's the frightening thing.
The expert panel that we are recommending is to be separate and independent from the government, appointed by members of the National Academy of Medicine, which is a non-governmental organization. And that is how we propose that it meet medical criteria and not be influenced by political or partisan affiliation.
Trump has his finger on the triggers of 3,000 or 4,000 nuclear weapons. It's clear that if he even took one step in that direction, he could turn the world wars and the genocides of the 20th century into minor footnotes in the history of human violence. We can see a level of violent destructiveness on this earth that we've never seen before.
You've been watching a short film by Brave New Films called Mental Health Experts on Donald Trump. Now you can watch the film yourself and share it from bravenewfilms.org or check our website. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter and find links that we mention on the air. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.